And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So
we're only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because like I'm heartbroken.
All right, you're very welcome along to the GAAR Hurling Show. With me in studio today are Mikey and JJ, and we have Damien Hayes on the line. And we're going to have a look at what was an absolute classic game in Croke Park. A lot of people surprised at the Waterford tactics. Brian Cody not very surprised at the Waterford tactics, if you believe him. But we'll get to that in a little while. Damien, you sent me a betting slip yesterday. You weren't on the Thursday show because you were on a ferry or something. You might explain that too, but you had to draw a bet.
Yeah, well, I wasn't on the show last Thursday. Claire and I, my wife and our two little boys, went away for a few days, so we did. So I was out of coverage when you were trying to ring me on Thursday. But I felt during the week that there had to be a big performance in Waterford. I felt that, you know, they got an awful lot of unfair criticism. We spoke about the game against Tipperary in the Munster final in depth, you know, where they missed an awful lot of chances, in particular in the first half, and then they gave away an awful soft goal to John McGrath midway through the first half. And I just thought that we said it, that Austin Gleeson, Tariq Mahoney and guys like this, if they really tighten up their shooting from distance, they were going to trouble Kilkenny. And that's exactly what happened, and it was an absolutely brilliant game. It was a great game of hurling. It was real manly stuff, and it was exciting, and it was intense. And I seen in the bookies that it was a 12-1 on for a draw, so I said I'd throw a tenner on it. So I was pretty happy anyways afterwards that I got a draw, but I was delighted anyways with the draw, because it'll be another classic, you know, next Saturday, and really looking forward to that game again.
Yeah, it will be an absolute classic, and I wouldn't believe you only you actually sent me the slip. So look, Damien's telling the truth on this occasion. JJ, one thing, and I don't want to start off the show on a negative tone, but the one thing is very disappointing that only 34,000 people were there in Croke Park to watch what was as good a game of hurling as we've seen in a long, long time. It was a classic written all over it. Why is that?
I don't really know. It's very, very hard to tell. It was the best hurling game I've seen since probably 2014, the final, the first match against Tipperary. Definitely the best this year, by far. As Damien said, everything was in it. The work rate was there. The physical hits were there. The scores were there, more importantly. Very, very few wides. So what was big criticism of Waterford over the last probably year was that they're driving too many wides, too many pot shots from out the field. But every one of them went over there yesterday as well. Big performances. Austin Gleeson had a fabulous performance, and fair play to Derek McGrath. He went after Kilkenny's kind of strong. Kieran Joyce was centre back, put Austin Gleeson in centre forward on him. Kieran Joyce was took off with 15-20 minutes to go. Austin Gleeson ended up with 5 points as well, and they dominated around the midfield area as well. Jamie Barron and Kevin Moran got on top of Michael Finley and Conor Forty as well, and that was a huge platform for Waterford to kick on.
Yeah, and just on the attendances before I move on from it, are Kilkenny supporters just spoiled? You know, like, I mean, it's a semi-final and they think, right, we'll get to the final because we're always in finals. And
yeah, but sure, look, this is, they're going for the 10th All-Ireland final in 11 years. So, yeah, they definitely are spoiled. There's no point in saying any different, because, look, a majority percentage of people would have said, right, we'll wait till the final, we'll get there. But the genuine hurling supporters have been there and always will be there, and they'll be in Thurles next Saturday as well. But I think what we'll see is a lot more neutrals going to the match on Saturday.
Thurles
as well.
Thurles should sell out for it, right?
Yeah, I should sell out for it, yeah. Definitely, because anyone looking at a game on yesterday will be saying, right, I want to see this live in action as well, because it was just beautiful to watch. Everything was there. It was so quick, so fast. Physical hurling as well, and 15 on 15, which we all want to see as well.
Allowing for the drive down there, I'm delighted that it's in Thurles, because the other thing about that, 34,000 isn't a bad crowd in any other stadium. 34,000 in the lower tiers at Croke Park.
Yeah.
Like you said, it was an absolute classic game of hurling, and you could have been in a monastery at times with Derek McGrath. You could have been on a retreat. The atmosphere was... It was good, and the people who were there were making noise, and that you'd have to have a pulse, not to. But because the upper tiers, it wasn't a cauldron, like, you know, a big day in Croke Park when like it's full or close to full, and there's two sets of supporters who are on tenterhooks and they're screaming. I'm sure everyone who was there was doing that, but up in the top tier in the press box, you couldn't hear that, you know? You weren't getting that really, that classic atmosphere to go with what was a classic game.
But, like, we have to put the context on this. This is an All-Ireland semi-final. Yeah. Like, I mean, I can't comprehend this. This is, like, something you might get at, you know, a poor Leinster semi-final or something, and, like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. No, it doesn't, and I was actually surprised myself watching it on TV yesterday when the attendance came out. You know, there was only 34,000 people, and possibly, you know, a majority of them were probably Water people that were going up, you know, passionate, going up supporting their team, you know. But as Jay just said, the Kilkenny people are just getting spoiled, and like they've just unbelievable, fantastic teams that every year represent them, and they're getting into All-Ireland finals, and I suppose they're the majority of people that just don't travel for the semi-final. But as you said, very, very disappointing crowd. But the game, the replay now being in Turles Central Stadium, that will attract an awful lot more attendance, a lot more neutrals, a lot more Kilkenny fans might go to this game now because the draw and match in Croke Park. But plus, as well, it's closer, you know, it's not a big long journey up to Dublin. So it was a great game as well in Turles, and both teams will love playing in Turles. Both teams will be able to show what they're made of again.
JJ, Brian Cody said he doesn't have shares in Hawkeye yesterday in the press conference afterwards. It's starting to look like he might have some sort of investment in it there.
I think it's definitely Kilkenny man who's looking after that, invented his Hawkeye because he's after saving us again. Like,
he's controlling it.
But no, it looked two opportunities there again yesterday that... interesting for the second one, the umpire actually gave a pint, but the referee called for... There obviously must be, if it goes wide, the referee gets notified straight away, and he has to go for it.
Brendan Cummins, he had that locked down on the co-commentary. He said that this is what happens. If the referee calls it,
it's wide.
Because he's hooked up, you know, and they give him the heads up. Yeah.
But look, the technology is there, and it's there for a reason, I suppose. Look, that could have been any other stadium, if that's... Okay, obviously, the hockey's in Turles, but if that's any other stadium in Ireland, it could have been a pint and it would have been over. Like, but it's... Look, with the hockey, there's pros and cons to it, all right, but I think it's just giving it an out for an umpire. Like, there was one in the first half there that Jake Dillon took a shot, and it was a good two or three foot wide, like, you know what I mean? And they went to hockey... I didn't think that should have been... It should look... Decision should be with the umpire as well. Like, and but look, no, we're happy enough we have it now again, because again we could have been caught, and that was a pivotal point for Waterford as well.
Yeah.
Kilkenny were coming back at him, and if they got either one of them point, I'd say we're settling them down, because at that particular stage they're actually filtering back. They're all coming back, and the couple of pot shots from outfield, Kevin Moran had one from 65 yards out, and there was no one in there. He couldn't pass the ball. He had to go for the shot. And they're all kind of going back because they knew they were winning at that particular stage, and they knew the clock was ticking down, so they're trying to defend the lead rather than go and attack and get another point. But if one of them would have went over, it would have been very, very worried now.
As a point of order, just the man controlling on Hawkeye was a Wexford man. It's Dickie Murphy, the former referee, so I don't think Dickie's going to be given Kilkenny.
He hates both Waterford and Kilkenny, so he's the perfect neutral. Another reason to love Dickie Murphy
again, isn't it?
Damien, what do you do? The one thing I think about this Hawkeye, and I don't know, is a little glitch or whatever, but you see that red line coming in. Like, if the post was high enough, that ball was going to tip off the post and go over the bar. It was so close to being over the bar. And if it just touches off the post, it's counted as a no score. Mm. But you know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe that's just the fairest way to do it. But it looked to me like that ball was so close to going over the bar, it would have just clipped the post and continued on.
Well, this season I thought was unbelievable that it was called back. It was called back by the referee, where he was notified and told that it had to go to Hawkeye. It was incredible scenes, especially when you're watching at home and you're getting intense in the whole game.
Yeah.
There, but, and then it's very misleading as well when you're watching on TV or you're watching it during the match, and next thing you see a red line. Automatically, when I see a red line, I say, "Oh, that's a wide now." And next thing it comes up saying "tall," or the green line, you know. So as Jay just said, if it was in any other pitch in the country, they wouldn't have had Hawkeye, and it was a massive... Am I right by saying after that decision, I could be wrong now on this, but after that decision, did Kilkenny put out the ball and the ball went down the field and Walter Walsh got the goal? It was very close to that period of time, isn't it?
It was, It was the next minute. Yeah, certainly the next play was Walter Walsh goal, yeah.
Yeah, so like, it's just amazing how games can change and you know, the twists and turns, and was like, Walter get a pint and it's allowed by Dickie Murphy that's up in a stand looking at it on a computer or whatever, and next thing you have Owen Murphy who puts the ball, which means up in the back of the net. you know, it's just the way games pan out. Look, it was a big game of hurling. It was end-to-end stuff. Waterford gave it absolutely everything, and Kilkenny never gave up. It was a really enjoyable game of hurling, and it was something that we needed this summer, because as I said before on the show, I just thought games were a lot more boring and they were one-sided, but yesterday was absolutely spectacular. Brilliant skill level. The skill level there yesterday was incredible.
Yeah, we'll get into analysing it in a little minute. But Mikey, you were in Croke Park yesterday and you spoke with Waterford captain Kevin Moran after the match. Here's how that went.
Should we be congratulating with you or commiserating with you after that one?
Look, I don't know, to be honest with you. Mixed emotions, very, very shortly after the game. We we're still there. We've another next Saturday night. Looks like it's going to be in Thurles, and we know what we have to do to try and get one over a great team that likes Kilkenny. And you know, we just, I suppose, we didn't fall short, but we just probably didn't, see it out.
Yeah, well, you went one step further than you did 12 months ago, so you get another shot at them again. So there's encouragement there, obviously, as well.
I think so. Yeah. I think there is, looking at the game. You know, there definitely is encouragement. And look, it's we have to, I suppose, take what worked for us in the game, recover properly and just try and go hard again for next Saturday evening. And it's a huge prize on offer. And look, both teams will be delighted that they're still in it.
You were lined up pretty much man for man or very close to it, which is unorthodox for Waterford in the last while. How long have you been working on that plan for Kilkenny?
There's a load of talk about these kind of things, but I don't know where we either, to be honest with you,
Tighe might have been sitting back a bit, but you had 3, 4, 5 forwards in the Kilkenny half for most of the game.
Look, I suppose every game takes a life of its own. We don't talk too much about systems and all this kind of stuff, and there's a lot of negativity at sports towards it and stuff like that, but look, we're just trying to focus on what works for the team and within the group. And look, it didn't work today, but it wasn't far off.
The work rate was absolutely phenomenal. Is there any fear about a 6-day turnaround? Are you confident in the fitness and conditioning you have done?
Yeah, please God, yeah. It's a quick turnaround, but we've top guys with us, that are, strength and condition, nutrition, and guys who know their stuff about recovery and physio. So look, that's, they'll give us a good breakdown what needs to be done. So look, we'll go again on Saturday.
Just one more. I was just wondering, there's not many days that Kilkenny are made look relatively average under a high ball. Just yourself and Brick Walsh in particular were immense this evening. Again, I just wondered if you could just tell me a little bit about the work you do on kind of puck outs specifically.
I suppose some days it goes for you, other days it doesn't. It's a huge part of the game and things that we work on with Stephen, obviously, in the goal quite regularly. And we put a lot of time and effort into it and try and get the runners off the likes of Brick and things like that. But I can't even remember now what you're on about. But I'll have a look at it during the week and I'll maybe get back to you next week.
Thanks very much.
No matter. Cheers.
Yeah, lads. The Waterford lads are being very cagey when it comes to this system. I don't think they like talking tactics, because Moran's denying there that obviously they went more orthodox. So it was clear to anybody to see that they went away from their defensive system, and that's what made it a classic game, and that's why it was such a high scoring game.
Yeah, I'd say they're just probably sick of hearing the word system, really. It's probably following this Waterford team around. But look, they did go 15-15. There's no point in saying any different. Oscar Leeson was up centre forward and they had three men in the full forward lane. They showed how good players they actually, individuals are, and as a team, when they're focused. And against Munster, in the Munster final against Tipperary, the work rate wasn't there. It wasn't there because mentally, for some particular reason, just wasn't there. And the whole game plan was thrown out the window because of that. And Tipperary kind of developed on that. But the scene yesterday, they were hitting anywhere a Kilkenny person was turned. There was two or three of them hitting. It wasn't just one person. They were just in their face everywhere. And they attacked Kilkenny where they were strong. They attacked them in the air as well. Stephen O'Keefe was pucking, just going down on top of the 21, and in between the 21 and 30 yard line, and they were playing Michael Brick Welsh for a lot of puckouts there as well. So they're actually bypassing where Kilkenny were strong in regard to the midfield area. But any balls that broke in the midfield area, Jamie Barron was on it, Kevin Moran had a couple of high catches as well. So they actually focused on where Kilkenny were strong. And as I said previously, with Kieran Joyce, centre back, that's your, supposed to be your strongest unit or your strongest player on the team, your centre back. But he was took off at 20 minutes ago and shows how good Austin Gleeson was as well.
You talk about hunting in packs, they really got under Kilkenny's skin now, because Kilkenny, you know, they'll never take a step backwards, obviously, as you know yourself, but like they can be quite controlled, you know, and they can usually brush it off and say next ball. But there was a couple of instances there yesterday where, you know, it was clear the Kilkenny players were getting frustrated, they were just getting angry, they were being suffocated, and like the TJ Reid booking at halftime, you know, nobody seems to be terribly impressed with that one. But it was just an example that, you know, there was a tetchiness to Kilkenny, which they'd usually wait till there's a ball between themselves and the player, but I don't know if you noticed that, JJ, that there was, they just seemed to be a little bit of an attitude of, they weren't altogether enjoying themselves in Croke Park as much as sometimes they do.
No, you couldn't. Whenever you're hitting Croke Park, you're not going to enjoy it, and then you're probably, they were beating that probably their own game really more than, they've done this to so many teams down through the years that they were physically dominating the other team as well. But I think Waterford and Derry McGrath, the game was played on their terms, and that's the thing that Brian Cody will be most upset about. He'll look to focus back his players again. He probably won't have to say a huge amount to him, because after you play a game like that and you know you were second best, and look, they were blessed to get the replay, they'll have a look at themselves, and you can bluff anyone else but you can't bluff yourself. So if you have a quick chat with yourself and saying, look, I wasn't good enough in the day, that's enough motivation for yourself to get yourself fired up. And a lot of players will have to look themselves in the mirror and say, right, we'll have another crack at this, we're lucky enough to get it, so we're going to have to rectify this now come Saturday.
Yeah, Damien, Brian Cody said in his press conference, which is incredible to me, and to see what you think about it, he says he wasn't surprised at the way Waterford set up. But Waterford have never, ever played like that under Derek McGrath. So, like, I mean, you know, he can't be being 100% honest. Maybe he wasn't surprised, but his players certainly looked like they were a little bit surprised out in the field.
Yeah, I'd say Brian was just saying, just for the sake of saying that he wasn't surprised, because he didn't want to be overawed by the whole thing. Everyone in the country, I think, would have predicted that Waterford were going to go with a sweeper system, because they've done it for the last 2-3 seasons. That. So I don't know how Brian would have known that they weren't going to go with a sweeper system. And as you said, the Kilkenny players would definitely have been game planning that there was going to be a sweeper system put in place. But Derek McGrath, he went on the 15 on 15. At times, Tadhg Bourke pushed back a little bit to protect his full back line, so he did when the ball was going into the full forward line. So he was. But as I said, the Waterford players yesterday, they were really up for the game. They were motivated, they had something to prove, they went to Croke Park, so they did, on a mission to get to an All-Ireland final. They came within seconds of getting to an All-Ireland final and upsetting all the odds, but Brian Cody will not be happy with all of his players, and all of his players didn't step up to the mark. They played way below par, so they did. You know, even TJ Reid, who I'm a huge fan of,
very quiet.
Never scored from play. You know, he was quite by his own standards. Yes, his free taking was, you know, Colin Finley. Again, I'm still waiting for Colin, who I think is a great hurler, to just burst into life. And when I see him getting the pint test in Croke Park, I says this is a good thing now for himself. You know, and he didn't play. You know, Kieran Joyce didn't play well yesterday. I still say Tadhg Walsh, even though he brought out an awful lot of balls. There was a couple of stages where he made a couple of foolish mistakes. You know. But I just think that Kilkenny have more to improve on and more to work on for the next day. And I think that game yesterday will bring Kilkenny on a pile, because they've been waiting for the last 4 or 5 weeks for this game, and you can't beat a championship game of Ireland. I just think Kilkenny will win the next day in Turles. That's my good feeling.
Yeah, Brian Cody says he had no idea in the lead up to the game how Waterford would set up. Like, he seems to be a little bit spooked by them, a little bit. Like, because Waterford are adaptable. Their players can play in any sort of positions. You don't know where Austin Gleeson's going to play. You don't know where a lot of them are going to, you know, where they're going to line up.
But a lot of the Waterford players are fantastic hurlers, and their skill level is incredible. And we've seen that even with the younger players in the under-21 Munster final, where I'd say that performance alone gave the whole county lift, but also gave Derek McGrath a huge lift, and maybe a lot of ideas with way maybe to go into play in the semi-final. They probably predicted they would beat Wexford, so that they, you know, so he stuck with the traditional stuff, but then he went 15 on 15 against Kilkenny. And as I said, they have some super hurlers, and if they can believe they can beat Kilkenny, they'll have a great chance. But it's all down to believing it. And can do they believe they can beat Kilkenny in All Ireland semi-final? Do they think that it's gone, or can they believe?
Cody might not be surprised, but as you said there, Willie, there was definitely players that were surprised. I don't know if you spotted this, JJ. You probably did. The kind of thing you'd notice. At one point in the first half, Colin Dunford, if they could have switched the ball from the left wing to the right wing, Colin Dunford was in about 40 yards of space. I don't know what happened. I don't know where Shane Prendergast was gone. I don't know where Joey Holden was gone. But for some reason, it wasn't even a turnover. I think Waterford played the ball down the left-hand wing. And next thing you look up, and there's nobody near him. And it's like, had Kilkenny prepared to maybe have fewer men back? Would there have been lads ordered that they could push on a bit? And this is why Dunford found himself with the freedom of
Half North
Park.
I suppose they're the only players that know themselves. But look, if they're adding 30 or 40 yards of space, that's unforgivable. Open Crow Park as well, because you can't give a lad 2 yards of space, let alone 30 or 40 yards, you know. But I just, going back to Waterford, I think Derek McGrath always had this. I didn't know he was going to go 15 and 50. I was hoping he was going to, but Derek knew that coming into the year this year, if they're going to win the All-Ireland, they're going to have to beat Kilkenny along the way somewhere. And this was his best way of doing it, going 15 and 15. Sweeper didn't work against Kilkenny last year, so he said, right, we're going to have to go orthodox and go 15 and 15. And fairness to him, obviously everyone was saying this over the last 5 or 6 weeks, but that's not the reason he done it. The reason he done it was, this is my best chance of beating Kilkenny 15 and 15. Sweeper didn't make it. He tried a sweeper last year, didn't work, so he went to, this is his idea of how to beat Kilkenny. And he came, as we said previously, this game was played in his on Waterford's terms. Everything spot on. He got the matchup spot on. Nolly Connors on John Joe Farrell. John Joe was took off. Kevin Moran out on Michael Fenley. He got better of him. Michael Brick Welsh on Killian Buckley. Shane Bennett in the full forward and took off in the second half, but he had good influence in there. Unlucky for a goal as well. Colin Dunford, the thing about Kilkenny was that any time Waterford missed an opportunity or should have got a point at the other end, Kilkenny capitalised and came back in at half time. They're only a point down, and we see Kilkenny do this year after year after year, that they play bad in the first half but they're only 1 or 2 points behind. Now in fairness, Waterford kicked on in the second half with a couple of points, but I think if there was any other team in Kilkenny's situation yesterday, they would have been better. The likes of Colin Fenley broke the ball and broke it through to Walter. Two of them didn't have great games, but they didn't go hiding. They were there to finish off, especially with Walter as well. He was there to finish off the goal. And again, another matchup, Conor Gleeson on Walter Welsh. We didn't expect that either, but Conor Gleeson had a great game.
But super again, game.
Super game, yeah. And then the last minute, I think the most important player on the field for the last 10 minutes for Kilkenny was Owen Murphy, because Waterford just retreated back, and there was
wasn't that a huge mistake?
In hindsight, it was.
Derek was talking last week about game management and how he said the last 10 minutes he would have done things different against Kilkenny. I think he'd be looking at it again this week and saying the same thing again.
I think it's very harsh. I heard that, and they're talking about that in the commentary after the game yesterday. Like, I mean, you've been ahead the whole way through the game. I don't think that was a decision by the management to say everybody go back. I think that's just players going, oh shit, we have a chance of beating Kilkenny. When that goal went in, their brains were scrambled. I don't think that's a tactical decision. You know what I mean? I think that would be very unfair.
You see, once you're saying Waterford brains are scrambled, but then Owen Murphy got the ball, poked at Joey Holland out to the 21, Joey Holland to the Paul Murphy 30 or 40 yard past the corner 40, then over the bar. Their heads weren't scrambled because they didn't panic, because they're used to being in this situation, they're used to getting over the line, and that in itself, it was showed huge maturity by the players to do that. And probably they won't get the credit deserved for that because of how Waterford performed, but just to make the right decision when you're under pressure, that's a huge asset, and that's what Kilkenny have, because they've been used to being winning so much for the last few years.
Yeah, Damien, what do you think? Like, if Waterford had won that game, you'd be talking about Derek McGrath, almost one of the greatest managerial masterclasses we've ever seen. To change what you've been doing for 2 years against the best team in the country, massively brave, and deserve massive amount of credit.
Well, what he did was, he got it spot on. You have to say it straight, you know. There was an awful lot of people, I was actually down in Waterford last week in Tremor and got chatting to a few people just about hurling, and there were even the few supporters, it was all about their system, they didn't know whether they were going to win the game, and they were hoping that they would go at least with two men in the full forward. And he went for broke, and fair play to him. He got a lot of slack, and he said he was going to take on Kilkenny. I've seen Derek McGrather yesterday, and I've seen him. I found even his body language was an awful lot different than I've seen him in the last 2 years. He was motivated, even with the incidents with the two boys getting booked at half time. Derek McGrath came back out of the tunnel, so he did, and he started roaring at the. I think that his own man, as in to get into the dressing room. So, I mean, I felt his own body language was different. He was going up and down the line. He was urging lads on. He was telling lads what to do. But sorry, McGrath, the proof's in the pudding. They produced the performance, and that's what he needed the boys to step up. He wants his younger players, his Austin Gleesons, his Pádraig Mahonys, all these top Tadhg Na Bóchas, all these guys that are fantastic hurlers to step up to the mark and put their name in life. Some of the boys put in super performances yesterday, but Kilkenny do what Kilkenny do best, and they stay going and they stay ahead, and that's what Brian Cody said even yesterday in his interview. We stayed ahead, you know, and there were 5 points down with, I think it was 4 minutes of ordinary time left in that game. And I know they're saying that their substitutions, they're roughly adding on about 30 seconds per substitution for each team, but like Kilkenny just stayed at, and next thing they got the goal. And Walter Walsh's finish was absolutely brilliant. I'd be a bit disappointed in the Walter keeper. I thought maybe he could have come out to it a little bit braver instead of turning his backside to it, you know. But in fairness to Walter, it was an absolutely super goal. But Tariq McGrath deserves a lot of credit. But the big thing is for Walter is, and I'll say it here now, produce another massive performance like they did in Croke Park, and hopefully they will, because in fairness to Kilkenny, every year day in day out produce a consistent performance. So I'm hoping that Derek McGrath will get the best of all these players again next Saturday evening.
The gas thing is, JJ, the game looked like it was petering out. There was no goal. Didn't look like Kilkenny had a goal in them. That goal came completely against the run of play, and didn't look like they were opening Waterford up, despite it was 15-15. The goal was a little bit lucky in the fact it was a bad ball by Michael Fennelly, and Barron messed it up, and it popped to Colin Fennelly, and then gave it to Walsh. Huge amount of luck, you know, and then you've got the Hawkeye bit of luck, and it's like, Kilkenny are so bloody good. What does a team have to do to get over the line?
It can't be all luck now. You're going to have to give us a bit of credit sometime, you know, like, in a way. But no, look, again, that's what Brian will always emphasise in his players: don't give up, and if you're getting bet, get bet, go down swinging as well, like, you know what I mean. So don't just give, just don't accept being bet,
because you have that aura that it will get inside a team's head, shit, there's 5 minutes going, we're beating Kilkenny.
That's what a certain aspect of happened there yesterday as well, like, you know. Kilkenny are used to winning, and they know how to win as well, and I suppose the Waterford team is going to have to learn from that experience there yesterday. That's the only way you're going to have to learn from it, you know. But yeah, look, you have to give the players a huge amount of credit, because again, if you look at Paul Murphy, had a chance to win it near the end as well.
That would we would have
absolutely robbed him. No fight in saying it, but we would have took him. You know, in the final, everyone would have been happy then, like, you know. So
would have been a hurler of the year, or probably wrapped up as well. Paul Murphy came up and scored the winning point in All Ireland semi.
Honestly, I'm neutral. Like, it'd have a bit of a graw for Waterford because they're underdogs, you know, just naturally. But if Paul Murphy had gotten that, like, I would have started crying. Like, it just would have been unjust.
Can I just go back to the goal for a second? Because, like, you talk about courage. It was incredible. The two players involved there, like, now there was only, if you take Richie Hogan out of it, Walter Walsh and Colin Fennelly got the only two other scores from play for Kilkenny Forest. But neither of them had a good game. There's one point in the first half where Walter Walsh went down to pick up the ball one handed, and I said, it's not the day for you to do that, because he couldn't. He tried three or four times. He's just had one. He's a big man. If his touch isn't in, it's exaggerated because he's so big. And Fennelly, similar. So for the two of them to play that, like, it was an intricate little, they were lucky they got the ball, but it was an intricate little 1-2.
Yeah.
At that stage of the game, to try that, a player on another team in Walsh's position might have just, you know, beveled it the first time he got it. Yeah. Wouldn't have even looked.
Or he might have been in that position to take the pass, because look, it's very, very hard to put yourself in a position when you're not playing well. When you're playing well, you want the ball all the time. But he didn't go hiding. Colin didn't go hiding. I know Larkin came on. He could have been sulking because he wasn't starting, but he came on and made a huge.
He did well.
Acid down in the second half. He scored a point, but he done a lot of work. He got on a lot of ball. Now, again, I can see him starting now next Saturday as well, just for his work rate alone, and he's hooking and blocking ability. He's just top notch at that. But these guys, they don't go hiding, they don't go missing, and look, that's why they're winning a few All-Irelands the last few years as well.
Yeah, this question's for the two of you. Damien, I'm going to ask you first. This seemed like a ridiculous decision from Cody, for me, that Richie Hogan was causing all sorts of problems in the first half. He was playing centre half forward, and De Burka was dropping off him, and he found himself in acres of space on two or three occasions. Did he score four in the first half, Mikey?
Four.
And then he's moved into the full forward line in the second half. Like, now I know there might be an element of trying to get TJ into it, But I'd be very surprised why you would change a tactic that's clearly working, and clearly Waterford had no real answer to it. Like, it was messing them up as well.
Well, I personally wouldn't have moved Richie Hogan into the full forwarding. You know, I do play club centre forward at home here with the clubs I do, and it's a position I really enjoy. It gives you the freedom of getting around the park. And Richie Hogan was there putting in four unbelievable scores. He was getting onto a bit of ball. He was causing problems. He's an unbelievable striker of a ball. He's able to field ball as well, you know, for such a small man. And I won't like you, Colm. I found it, I couldn't believe that he was put in full forward. Then I said to myself, maybe now it's tactic that maybe kick in, you're going to pull out a corner forward and maybe leave a kind of a two-man full forwarding or two-and-a-half-man full forwarding where they're going to pump ball into Richie. But they didn't, and it took Richie out of the game for definitely 15 minutes. So did, and it didn't, like, as I always say, you want to have your best players on the ball, you want your best players around the ball. And I find as well in the modern game, hurling, that an awful amount of hurling is played in the middle eight, and that's where I'd always play a lot of my best players. And I definitely say it was a mistake, definitely, because Richie Hogan was causing huge problems in the first half in particular. So he was in the second half, especially when he'd come back out centre forward, he'd do an awful lot of grafting, and he won a couple of frees and that. But I couldn't believe it. I thought maybe it was a tactic, but it didn't turn out to be a tactic, because all Kilkenny were doing when they were walking, he'd been roof 1-14, sky blasting up into the air, and you know that doesn't always suit Richie Hogan if he's quality.
What do you think, JJ?
Yeah, look, I suppose either when TJ was in there, the ball wasn't going into full forward line. When Richie went in there, the ball wasn't going in there either. Like, so probably would have been, hindsight now, looking back on it, they should have had the 2 minute half forward line, and then to give Owen Murphy a lot of options in regarding puckouts and all that. But yeah, look, Richie scored 4 points, and he scored, I think, 5 points against Waterford last year in the semi final. By doing the same things, by getting a bit of freedom to move around left, right, and he can hit off either side as well, like, you know. So I suppose it was an element of trying to get TJ into the game as well. He got the yellow cards before, just at half time, himself and the full back were going at it. Maybe they thought, Brian thought, right, I'll take him out. Or maybe he thought, right, Barry Coughlin's on a yellow, put in Richie Hogan in on him, and he might be able to get a free. And you never know, like, if you get a one on one, he couldn't foul him because he might get a second yellow or something like that. I don't know the thinking behind it.
I don't think there was anything.
There must have been something behind it, but
was
we will never
chance,
know.
Any chance? No chance he still has the fitness issues, is there? After, you know, he only came
He came in at half time. Yeah, he's training away. He played a league championship match for the club and training away for the last four weeks.
And then what about TJ being on a booking from that strange half time booking? Would there be any chance Cody be thinking himself and Coughlin that something could happen? TJ could see the line.
Yeah, I suppose. Look, if two of them are on yellows, and if they got another yellow to them, like, it would be bigger loss, TJ or Barry Coughlin. That's the way he could have been looking at it. I don't know what the reason why the switch was, but it definitely didn't work. Really,
it didn't work. We can all agree.
No, that's the only thing we can agree on.
The thing about Richie Hogan and TJ, they're two completely different types of players, both brilliant, but Richie is cleverer than TJ. TJ is real direct, you know, but like, if anyone can exploit a centre half back dropping off you, it's Richie. And why was he finding himself in such acres of space and TJ wasn't? It's because Richie's able to know, you know, where to pull where to and go. Where to go. And just, I don't want to harbour the point, Damien, but the fact that, like, it was working so well, I just can't comprehend the logic behind changing it.
Yeah, basically, Richie, he's able to read the game brilliantly, right? And he's able to float around and drift around. Now, Richie Hogan, he's a huge pedigree in him. He's really scary, so that says it all as well. But Richie just floats around. Maybe just to give the Kilkenny defenders a bit of praise as well, you know, the Kilkenny defenders are coming out with the ball, they're coming out solo, and their heads up, and they're looking, and next thing they see Richie in space, you know, and they're giving the good quality ball down the line, and that's how Richie is getting scores. And you know, a bit of praise just to be given to the Kilkenny defence as well. But I find centre forward position, it really suits Richie Hogan, so does, and he's caused every team in the country problems there at that position for such a small man. But I wouldn't have put him in full forward yesterday, especially with him putting 4 points. And maybe he could have been a little bit annoyed with himself, being moved in out of the action.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't do his game any good, and maybe he was saying to himself he was being moved from centre forward to accommodate another player from Kilkenny to try to get him into the game, which was sacrificing his game. So that's why I was saying that I think Kilkenny had more to work on and more to improve on for the next day. And that game against Waterford, that intensity, that quality will bring them on and bounce. So Simple as that.
Talking about centre half forwards who can exploit a bit of space and, you know, do the right things, Austin Gleeson, like, that was an exhibition from, I know Marty kept repeating he's only 21. I don't want to say that, but he is only bloody 21, and like, he gave an exhibition. Like, there's a Ken McGrath in him, like, he's all action, he's a fan's favourite. Some of the scores he got were breathtaking, and it's just incredible the influence he has on that team already.
Look, sure, he's a leader on that team, there's no doubt about it. He's the go-to man in the forwards as well. And what I liked now as well, when Kenny got a couple of scores, he had his hands up in the air, he wanted to puck out again. Like, It just showed leadership for such a young guy as well. Like, he shouldn't really be as much of a leader as he is already. So in 2 or 3 years' time, he's just going to be going to get stronger and better.
He's just confident. When he was taking like long range shots, he shouldn't be taking long range shots, which nearly every one of them missed against Tip and against Wexford. Like, you know, but he was taking these shots and he knew they were over, and he'd put his hand up in the air as if to celebrate the point before the ball was over. I love that. It's just like, that's over.
That's over.
I was just going to say that. Like, that was just brilliant to see. No fear of Kilkenny. No respect for Kilkenny. Just celebrated his field. And no respect in a good way. Not disrespect, but. Putting the finger up
like
in the air,
like a basketball three shooter, just brilliant. I love to see that. It's just so ballsy. But he,
I actually met Ken McGrath down in Tremore. So I did last week, and he was telling me about Austin Gleeson. He was just telling me that he's a phenomenal athlete, and the skill levels are incredible. But you're just saying there about he scores. The one thing I like about Austin Gleeson is the one thing, and JD, maybe this is a compliment to you as well. But he's an unbelievable hurler. He's class. He's skillful. He's classy. He's all that. He's a leader. But he's bold as well. So he was getting stuck into the Kilkenny boys. He was getting stuck into the Kilkenny boys there yesterday. And I seen him hitting a few of them shoulders and letting them know like that. He wasn't just up in Crow Park just to walk around, and you know, he was getting in their faces, and there's boldness in them, and you know, it's no harm, and that's what's required to be a top class inter-county hurler. And like Austin Gleeson, he's 21 years of age, he's 16 years he's going to be hurling for Waterford, and when this team finishes, he's going to end up centre back for Waterford, and when his time at centre back is finished, he's going to end up at the edge of the square 14, and his career is going to be endless. He's going to be absolutely phenomenal.
You're comparing his bowlness to JJ's. You don't know what you're doing to JJ's reputation here. Conor Keeney was getting on the bandwagon.
You're not doing many favours here, Hazel.
Are you trying to tell Tom that JJ Delaney wasn't bowled?
Play the ball on him.
How many All Ireland medals is that man in his pocket?
There was one point.
More than all the three of us put together.
There was one point in the second half there where Gleeson.
Ask Lara Corbett.
Don't mention the war.
Poor Lara's ears will be burning. On Gleeson, there was one point in the second half where he won a sideline, and. You're getting almost into Galway fist pumping territory here, but he went double fisted, and he was right. He was right beside the managers. He was beside Dan, and he was beside Derek McGrath, and the three of them celebrated this sideline cut. And it was just, he took the sideline cut. He has to put it over now. This will be it. This will be the Disney moment. He didn't. He still drove it 40 yards, but by his standards, it was poor. But it would have been the perfect moment if he'd actually managed to put this sideline over after celebrating it so hard.
Yeah, but one thing, he's an out ball for Waterford, but he can win his own ball in the air. Like, he caught one over Parag Welsh, and he had all the power.
Ask how you'd fancy taking him on, because he's seriously impressive in the air.
He's very good because he doesn't stand there. He kind of drifts over a couple of yards, and then he's jumping in on top of his defender as well. So he's
just a naturalist, and I'd say it just comes easy to him.
Yeah, that's his instincts. He's backing his instincts all the time, and in his instincts 99 times out of 100 they're right, and that's what he's doing. He's backing himself, and you're saying about his confidence, but he's probably beating Kilkenny and taking on Kilkenny. Him as a minor probably doesn't fear Kilkenny, because he could have bet him down through the years, and in minor games to bet him in when he was minor, to bet him in the semi-final as well. So that put a fear to Kilkenny that probably he doesn't have, and them couple of younger players doesn't have either, you know. So, and that's bringing that through, and bit of breath of fresh air there for the rest of the older guys as well.
Yeah, just one stat before we finish up here, lads, is Waterford had two wides in the first half. Like, they were banging them over from every angle. They hit seven in the second half, and you know, notably they hit five in the last 10 minutes when it got into the melting pot. Austin Gleeson missed one, Moran missed the Hawkeye one, which I thought there was a man inside him. I thought Curran was inside him, and he just seemed to just get carried away with himself instead of having a bit of composure. And it's like, you know, will that wear on their minds now? We had our chance. We seem to lose the head a little bit towards the end, and like that's going to be weighing on them this week. I know they won't mention it, but in the back of their minds, maybe that'll be there.
It can go two ways. You can either say, right, we can go total over Kilkenny, and we match them in every area, and now we'll kick on again. Or I'll say, right, geez, we had the opportunity, we had them on the ropes, but we couldn't knock them out.
It'd be hard to fight against the second one,
yeah,
wasn't it?
That's it. That's the thing, you see. It'll always niggle at the back of your head. Was that my opportunity? Was it? It's a case of, right, dust himself down. We're back in it. We're still in the Northern semi-final, and dust himself down and go again. I know for a fact Kilkenny lads will be looking at themselves, knowing that it's going to be a huge score for improvement. So they, I'm hoping they will improve as well, like, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see which way Waterford can react to it.
Owen Murphy had as many wides in the first half as Waterford. Kilkenny keeper had two wides in the first half and Waterford had two wides. And I saw one of those wides was Kevin Moran, and he ended up, he was punching the fist, punching the pitch of frustration when he hit the wide. It wasn't his worst one, but it wasn't great. And after Dave McGrath saying after the Wexford match that he doesn't care about wides, those lads really cared when they hit a wide, because Kevin Moran bet the shit out of the Croke Park pitch when he hit one wide in the first half. So they definitely were minding it until that last 10-minute spell, which was really when they didn't want to hit the wides.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be interesting to see how they psychologically get over it this week. All right, up next, we will have a look at performance of the week. All right, lads, nominations for performance of the week, chosen by me, are Pádraic Mahony, unbelievable, 14 points, not just the freeze, like, which you thought he was never going to miss at all. Yeah. The ones from play as well, from the sideline, from everywhere, on the run, didn't matter. It was a sensational performance. Austin Gleeson, because pretty much the greatest hurler that the world has ever seen, and he's only 21. Thanks for that, Marty. And lastly is Brian Cody. And Brian Cody's getting nominated for this, which we mentioned on the show already. Here his answer is when asked, did the Waterford system surprise him?
No, it wasn't surprised. I mean, like we spoke beforehand, we had no idea what we're going to do. That's their team. They have their players. They are very, very good players, very, very skillful players, very, very flexible in their formation. And what they did, we couldn't even begin to even be sure about. But no, I wasn't even emotionally surprised by that at all, no.
Yeah, Brian Cody there, you know, didn't surprise him in the least. Had this all under control. Absolutely nothing to see here. I'm still the top dog. So they're the three nominations. Damien, I'll go to you first. Who wins for you?
I usually say Austin Gleeson, but for this one, I'm going to say Pádraic Mahony. So I thought yesterday was unbelievable. Free taking was immense. So was he strikes a free like a golfer. I'd love to know, does he play golf? And if he does play golf, what is he talking
about? All the hurlers play golf, right?
No, and I don't. I don't, sorry.
Yeah, you probably try and off 10.
No, I don't play golf, but I just thought Pádraic Mahony is unbelievable. It's from the very start of the game. Like, the ball was thrown in, so his ball went down the field, ball broke, he got it, he gave a lovely little stick pass to Jake Dillon over the bar, and it was from that very moment onwards that he produced an unbelievable performance. And for what he's gone through, like, he's got injured, he's done his cruciate, he's got setbacks, and I think for a lad that hasn't done all the physical training this year and has been doing all rehab work and doing gym sessions, for the shape he's in and the condition he's in, his performance yesterday, I just thought he was absolutely brilliant. I was delighted for him, really was, thrilled for him.
JJ.
Any other week I'd go for Pádraic Mahony, but I have to go for Austin Gleeson. He's just absolutely fabulous. He covered every blade of grass there in Croke Park yesterday, right or left, win his own ball, but he got a couple of hard belts as well, up and went, dust himself down and went on again. As you said, he is 21, but he's learning as he goes on the field at the moment. You know, at the moment, I think he's one of the best hurlers in Ireland, without doubt. He can play him anywhere, but yesterday, just for leadership alone and the scores he got, it has to be Austin Gleeson.
Yeah, Mikey.
Well, he may be 24 years of age, but I'm something for Pádraic Mahony. I just thought, same as Damien there, I just thought from the first minute he was brilliant. He was ice cool. He hit 15 shots, he had 14 points, and his first wide I think was in the 65th minute. That shooting is just phenomenal, and it's not just his shooting, it's everything. And he is, if he'd been there last year, you'd wonder what if, you know. Maurice Shannon took up the free taking duties, Maurice didn't even start yesterday. Maurice is one of the most talked about hurlers last year, you know. This is how highly they rate him, that they think he can pretty much do it all inside. So as good as Austin Gleeson was, and as big a liar as Brian Cody is, I'm going for Pádraic Mahony.
Yeah, Brian Cody's an actor. Just before I give mine, Just give a mention, because we didn't mention that during the analysis, Maurice Shanahan not starting and his attitude when he came on. Now, I know he was into this goading when he scored the point, which doesn't look good on the pictures. But I mean, number one, were you surprised that he didn't start? He's obviously last year's All-Star.
Yeah, I thought he would start, to be honest with you, you know. But then Derek McGrath had Jake Dillon and Colin Dunford in for a specific reason, and that was the target. That they were going to play a three lads in full forwarding. But no, I suppose this year hasn't been his best year so far anyway, because last year he was playing full forward, but he was staying in close to goal because he was on the freeze, so he was scoring regularly. This year he wasn't on the freeze, Porgmanny was on the freeze, so... He was drifting out the field to get on the ball, to get himself on the score sheet more than anything, you know. So probably Derek had a look at that and said Jake Dillon came on yesterday, he was playing, said him, got a couple of points from play as well. When he did come on, I did like his attitude, like, you know. And again, as what Austin Gleeson, he took a shot and he looked over at Dan and put up his fist before the ball, with him adore the bar, like, you know what I mean. So his confidence like that is absolutely brilliant, like, and it's good to see, and that's why we all want to go and see games or players like that as well.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm choosing Austin Gleeson. I'm really going to throw a spanner into the works here, because it's going to be a draw and we're not too sure what happens.
We give it to our Shanahan if it's a draw, but, don't we?
Austin Gleeson, what's not been mentioned is he's playing with half an ear hanging off as well. Yeah. Which needs to be, and in the first half he almost did this thing like where he was balancing the hurl on his stick and turned around, did a pirouette and tried to throw it up, didn't he? I'm not sure what he did. He got caught for overcarrying in the end, but it was just like Brendan Cummins saying, oh, you don't want to do that in Croke Park. Yes, you do want to do that in Croke Park.
If you're able to do it,
this
you can do
Austin,
it, isn't it?
This is Austin Gleeson. The score he got under the Cusick stand from his left hand side off balance, he ended up in the advertising hoarding completely off balance on his left hand side. Like, Jesus, that's...
He loves the spins. There's something balletic about him. He just loves the spins.
Yeah, and he's good. It just all comes easy to him. So the winner this week is Austin Gleeson, because this is the GA hour with Colin Parkinson, so I get the casting vote on this.
We know where we are now.
We're all put back in our box here, aren't we?
In case of a tie, Colin Parkinson has the casting vote. That's in the small print.
It's in your contract.
That's in the small
print.
Exactly. Right, lads, we leave it there for this week. We'll be back on Thursday, obviously, with a huge preview weekend. We've got two All-Ireland semi-finals on Saturday and Sunday now to look forward to. And a double bill, obviously, of Waterford Kilkenny after such a classic. That's it for this week. Thanks to Conan, Mikey, Dion and Evan for putting the show together. Thanks to JJ, Damien, Mikey actually for a second time here, because he's double jobbing in the studio as well. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at sportsjoe_GAA and subscribe to the GAR on iTunes. Leave a comment, rate us, whatever you like to do. And we'll see you on Thursday with Conal and Damien. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I should go. So
we were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today. Because, like, I'm heartbroken.